Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you'll be turning your Bible to the Gospel of Luke and the second chapter, we'll begin there in just a moment, Luke chapter 2. And while you're getting your Bibles and getting settled, we want to welcome you to this devotional time we have tonight. And through this medium, we can study together. We sure miss seeing everybody's face, and we are longing for the day that we're back together here at O'Neill, and we pray that day comes soon. We're mindful of those who are sick, and we've been thinking of you and praying for you, and some of you have been going through some chronic problems, and you've been in our hearts and been in our thoughts. We're mindful of those who are going through rehabilitation, Sister Ann Griffin and others, and we're praying for you. And we want to continue to remember the Blakely family in our prayers. We want to remember Brother Grady, who has passed away. We want to remember the family and their grief. And also remember Sister Judy has a serious surgery coming up. And we want to pray for the family and pray for Sister Judy and continue to remember that family. In your Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, in the second chapter, you remember at this time, Jesus had been born. And they brought Jesus to the temple. And there is a man there identified as Simeon. And Simeon took Jesus up into his arms and made a great proclamation about Jesus. Then in verse 33, you'll find that Joseph and Mary marveled at the things which Simeon said about Jesus. Then if you take your Bible, look if you will, at verses 34 and 35, what he says to Mary in particular. Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." You know, I've thought about the different reactions I've seen during this time of isolation. And as I've looked at different people, I've seen people act in different ways. There are some who almost seem to enjoy the quiet and the solitude of isolation. And it seems like being alone has not bothered them a whole great deal. And then there are others who seem to be biting at the bit to get back to the way they were living, get back to work, get back with their friends. And isolation seems to be a great problem for them. But one thing you'll find is that when you go back and study the Bible, it's always interesting to see that the people of that day faced the same struggles and trials that we face. That they had to go through many of the things that we have to endure. And you'll find the attitudes of man and the moods of man have changed very little. That we have to go through grief and we have to go through loneliness and we have to face pain. And then we get to experience joy. But for a few moments of our time tonight, I want to talk about some lonely people we find in Scripture. And I want us to look at loneliness. Because it doesn't matter if you're an individual that enjoys solitude or if you're someone who is really outgoing, no one enjoys loneliness. And I want us to examine several people who went through lonely periods in life. The first one I want us to look at is Mary, the loneliness of love. And look at this woman who was the mother of Jesus. You remember she gave birth to Jesus and she conceived Jesus in a miraculous way by the Spirit of God. She did not know a man, but the Spirit of God came upon her and she conceived and gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God. And so she was a virgin giving birth to the Christ. And then you find in the book of Luke and the second chapter that Joseph is there when they come to the temple to dedicate Jesus, and Mary is there. But it's interesting that Simeon looks at Mary and says, "Behold, you're going to have a sword pierced through your soul." Then later, when we find at Jesus at 12 years of age, Joseph and Mary is there, but that's the last time we read of Joseph. Secular history said Joseph died when Jesus was just a young boy or a young man. Though Scripture is silent about that, one thing we do know is we never read of Jesus any time after his 12 years of age. And it could have been that Mary had to raise him and his siblings alone. But one thing we do know is that here is a mother that had to go through some time of watching her child grow up and leave home. Have you ever thought about the loneliness of when your child comes of age and moves out? That feeling of emptiness. Sometimes they call it empty nest. And yet here was a mother that watched her son grow of age, and eventually you find him leaving home. Then if you think about Mary, you find that she is also a woman who had her soul pierced because she lost her son. She saw her son die, not in the comfort of some bed, not in the comfort of some place, but upon a cross you find him dying for the sins of man. She saw others mistreating. She saw others nailing to a cross. She saw others as they laughed at him as he is crying out upon the cross. Can you imagine the pain in the heart of Mary and the loneliness she must have felt when she looked upon her son hanging on that cross? I've often thought about, here is a loving mother that was in a lonesome time. Have you ever thought about the loneliness of Mary as she stood near the foot of the cross and watched her son die? But I want you to think about a second individual that had to deal with loneliness. And this could be identified as the sick man and the loneliness of sickness. You remember in your Bible, in the book of John, in the 5th chapter, that there was a man by the pool of Bethesda, and the Bible said he'd had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, 38 years is a long time. 38 years of not being able to walk, being lame, not being able to be mobile and get about is a long time for anyone to have to endure such a problem. And notice he's at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the stirring of the water, hoping that he could be the first one in and be healed. And can you imagine that here is this man sitting waiting for the stirring of the water, which happened once a year, and he said he had no one to help him get in there. Can you imagine the loneliness of being lame and being sick and not having anyone there to tend to you? Here was a man that you find who had an infirmity and had no friends to lean upon. He had no one there to help him through his pain and suffering. And you remember Jesus came to him, and Jesus was a friend to him. Jesus looked at him and said, "Do you want to be made well?" That man said, "I have no one to put me in the water, because when I'm trying to get in, someone else gets in before me." But you remember Jesus performed a miracle, and Jesus healed that man and told that man to go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon him. So thus far, I've looked at the loneliness of love, and I thought about the motherhood of Mary when Jesus grew up and left home, and then when Jesus was nailed to the cross. And then I thought about the loneliness of sickness, that sometimes when one is sick and suffering, they can feel alone in life. They can feel lonely. And many times they look around and they just want a friendly face. And here was a man we find in John 5 dealing with loneliness of sickness. But that brings up a third individual in our Bible that I'd like you to examine. Open your Bible to the book of John and the 13th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 13th chapter, you'll find at this time Jesus with the disciples. And as Jesus is with the disciples, notice what is said in verse 30. In verse 30, it is talking about Judas. And it says, "Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night." I want you to first think about that Jesus had earlier in John 13 washed the disciples' feet, and that included the feet of Judas. And here was a man who Judas looked upon as Jesus, and he should have loved. But instead of loving him, Judas had already perceived that he could make money by betraying Jesus, and he was willing to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. So while Jesus is showing Judas love, Judas in his mind is conspiring to sell the Son of God. Then you'll find in the book of John in the 13th chapter that they are eating the Passover feast. And you'll find at this time that Jesus is there. And you find that at this time, John is leaning upon Jesus' breast. And Jesus said that one would betray him. And they quickly say, "Who is it?" They did not recognize it was Judas. But have you ever stopped and thought about that Judas hurried away from the company of friends he had there? Nobody drove him from the supper table. Nobody told him to leave. That man got up on his own free will and walked out. Why? Because sin had separated him from his friends. I want you to think about the loneliness of sin. I want you to think about this man who went out and for 30 pieces of silver betrayed the Son of the living God, placed a hypocritical kiss upon his cheek, and then later had remorse for it. And he went to the wrong people. He said, I've sinned. But instead of confessing that to Christ, he admits it to the high priest and the scribes and the leaders who had paid him to betray the Christ. And you remember that man in his loneliness, instead of seeking forgiveness from God and going to God and trying to show repentance, instead goes out and hangs himself. Have you ever thought of the loneliness of sin? But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 20th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 20th chapter, you remember Jesus had been nailed to the cross and had been crucified. And then Jesus was raised from the dead and he showed himself to the disciples. But when he showed himself, Thomas was not there. And the other disciples told Thomas that we've seen the Christ. He is risen. In John 12:24, you remember that they said that Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. And in verse 25, the other disciples said, we've seen the Lord. And he said, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Can you imagine the loneliness of doubt? That here is a man who had his other friends tell him, we've seen the risen Christ. He's been raised, Thomas. And Thomas said, oh no, I do not believe unless I see the print and put my finger in the print of the nails and I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Then if you take your Bible, you remember Jesus again appears to them 8 days later and Thomas was with him. And again, Jesus says, peace be to you. And then he looks at Thomas. Look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. I like that statement. He didn't have to touch the nails anymore. He believed in the risen Christ. But I love the next statement of Jesus in verse 29. He said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed. They believe the testimony of others who have seen. And then John says in verse 30, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in these book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. I've often thought about the people who doubted in Christ. While others rejoiced over the risen Christ, Thomas was alone. And while the others were together, Thomas was lonely because he did not believe the risen Christ. Do you see the loneliness of doubt? But then if you take your Bible, I want you to look at Jesus for just a moment. Have you ever thought about how lonely he was in life? Jesus had to be extremely lonely at times because he was extremely great and so many people misunderstood him and were blind to who he was. And here he was, the Son of God, and he walked upon the earth. And here you find that even his closest friends often didn't sympathize with him. Those he was closest to didn't understand his mission and purpose. And there is no loneliness that can compare with the loneliness of Christ. Think about the Pharisees. They never thought to call him lonely. They only called him a friend of sinners. Had we saw Christ, surely we would have said, there goes a lonely man. Even on the cross, they misunderstand him. When he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is my God, why has thou forsaken me? They said, well, he calls for Elias. I'll tell you, have you ever thought about the loneliness of Jesus? On the cross. You remember the Father allowed him to stay on that cross. And so he could say, I've been forsaken on this cross. and the loneliness he endured as he died alone for you and me. But I want to think about one other person, and then we'll make application. Go back to the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter. And when you come to the Old Testament, I want you to look at a man identified as Noah. And when you look at this man, you remember that at this time that the Bible says that the mind of man was upon wickedness continuously in verse 5. That his mind was upon and heart was upon evil continuously. And it says in verse 6, the Lord was sorry he made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart because when he looked at man, he saw man living contrary to the very purpose man was created for, to give him glory. Man had his intent and the thought of his heart upon evil, and therefore it grieved the heart of God that even made man. And the Lord said, I'm going to destroy man. And I'm going to destroy man for whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. I'm sorry I've made them. But have you ever thought about verse 8? In verse 8 it said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you ever thought about Noah? That here was a man who talked to his family and was able to get his family to stand. But in 1 Peter 2:5, you'll find that he was identified as a preacher of righteousness. And yet you find, my friend, when he preached to the people of that day, they all mocked and belittled him when he said, get in the ark or you'll be drowned. You will be destroyed. How many people just laughed at it? Have you ever thought about the loneliness of standing up and doing the right thing when the rest of the world is going contrary to what God has said? I want to take that. I want us to think about several things in the lesson here. First thing I want us to think about is parents can relate with the loneliness of marriage. You know, sometimes being a parent's not easy. We love our children. We want them to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want them to grow up and get a good education. We want them to learn to do the right thing. And many times, as a parent, we work and work, and then before we know it, with a snap of a finger, they're grown up. And how we look back over the years of memories of when they were just a baby, and then all of a sudden they're grown, and we're happy for them, we're excited for their next phase of life, but there's a loneliness that sets in when they leave home. But I'll tell you something. How many have been lonely in the home life because they look around and their spouse has died? How many have been left lonely because a child has perished? Sometimes I wonder if we don't see there are a lot of people in this world who are lonely. That they look around and they don't have somebody to lean on. They're looking for someone to show them kindness. They've lost the ones that were near and dear to their heart. And there are many people in this world who are fighting loneliness. We sometimes complain about isolation. We complain about being cooped up in our home. Can you imagine being by yourself all the time? But I think there's something else. What about the sick? Do you ever think about how lonely they get? Sometimes you can be lonely in a room full of people. And I've been in hospitals and I've looked at people who were sick. And though the room is full, you can tell their mind is concerned about their body and what's going to happen to them. And you see the loneliness of sickness. Is this something that I'll recover from? Or is this something that I'll never get over? Is this diagnosis that I'm receiving terminal? And they're concerned and you can just look in their eyes and see fear. And I've thought about the loneliness of sickness. I'll tell you something. You ever been to a nursing home? You ever walk through the doors and you just see someone sitting there looking for a friendly face? Oh, I'll tell you something, my friend. If you ever start to feel like you've got it bad, I'll tell you what you do. You go to a nursing home for just a few minutes and you'll walk out of there being thankful for what God has given you because there are people in there who are starving to death for someone to show them a little kindness. And God pity the day that we don't show them. There are some people that they're just looking for a friendly face. And I want to know, do they have a friend in you? Sometimes times we need to remember one day it may be us there. And how would we want to be treated if we were in the wheelchair? And would we want someone just to walk on past us with a hurried pace, not making eye contact? Or would we want someone to smile and be friendly? Oh, I think we need to think about the loneliness of sickness. But I'll tell you, there's a third thing we need to remember. The loneliness of sin. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 brings that out in a very clear manner. It's our sin, our iniquity, that takes us away from God. That's why when Jesus in Luke 15 talked about the one lost sheep, even though there were 99 there, he said the shepherd went out and looked for one. Why not five, Jesus? Because he thought about sin is lonely. And even one by themselves is lonely in sin. We may not think that one sheep is much, but I'll tell you, if you're that one sheep, it makes all the difference in the world if someone comes looking for you. Have we ever thought about the loneliness of sin? Every sin that we deliberately cling to is a mighty power in making us lonely and leading us away from God. And you want to know what hell is? Loneliness. I've had people tell me, preacher, I don't mind if I go to hell. I'll just go down there with all my friends and have a party. Well, you misunderstand hell, my friend. Hell is isolation. Hell is loneliness. Hell is being separated from light and goodness. Hell is being separated from everybody. It's a place of loneliness. And we need to understand if sin separates us from God here, sin will ultimately separate us from God for eternity. Hell will not be a place of partying. Hell will be a place of punishment. We've got to get that concept down. Oh, it just makes my stomach turn and my heart tremble when I hear people belittle and laugh and say, well, they'll have a good time in hell. They misunderstand that place, my friend. But there's something else. You ever felt the loneliness of doubt? Ever doubted a loved one? Have you ever doubted God? Have you ever doubted the love of God? I'll tell you something, my friend. I understand that in our life there may come moments of doubt. But how do you overcome those moments of doubt? When you feel lonely and say, God, are you there? God, do you care? I'll tell you what you do. You go back and read John 20. And you remember that God is there. And you remember that God has not left us, that Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. And that just because this life has moments of loneliness, we look forward to a day where we'll never be alone again when we're around the throne of God. Doubts arise. But how do you overcome a doubt? Is by putting the Word of God in your heart. That brings up something else. Do you see the loneliness of Jesus? Do you see how many misunderstood Him and mistreated Him? Have you ever thought about Him on the cross, all alone, dying for your sins? And I'll tell you something. Jesus has made it plain how we can become His disciple. He says in Mark 16:16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. My friend, you can't misunderstand that. You may not agree with it. You may never do it. But my friend, that's as plain as it gets. But He said, he that believeth not shall be condemned. You ever thought about if you have a friend in Jesus, you're never alone. But to be His friend, you must obey Him. Remember what it said in John 15:14? He said, you are my friends if you do what I command. Oh, I want to be a friend of Jesus. Because, my friend, there may be times in this life that I'm all alone, even when my family's around, even when loved ones are around, I still feel lonely, but there's a peace that comes with knowing that Jesus is my Savior and my friend. But finally, don't ever get tired of standing for what is right. Sometimes you may feel all alone in the workplace or in school or wherever you may be, being the only one trying to do the right thing. But I'll tell you, my friend, no one stands alone when they're a friend of God. And it'll be worth it to be a preacher of righteousness wherever you're planted to continue to let your light shine. I pray, as people deal with loneliness in this time, that we remember we can lean on one who will always be there, and that is Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, we are mindful of those who are dealing with loneliness at this time. We're mindful of those who are going through sickness. We're mindful of those who are going to have surgery. We're mindful of those who are grieving. And Father, we want to encourage them the best we can and do what we can to help them. But Father, we realize that we only have limited capacity to what we can do. But that You, Father, are above all things, and that You can give peace of mind and comfort to those who are very lonely and who are hurting and grieving and striving to overcome sickness. And Father, we pray that You will give them peace of mind. We pray that You will help them. And as we think about loneliness, Father, we're mindful of what Your Son was willing to do to take away our sin. And because of that, we have hope of eternal life, to be with You in the redeemed for all ages. And we pray, Father, that as we look to that goal, and we were mindful that we will be with You, that it helps us to endure the days of loneliness. May we learn to encourage one another and help one another. And may we be a light in a dark world. And may we never grow tired of standing up for what is right. But may we find grace in Your eyes. This we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.